Okay, today is now, this is again March 30th, and we are in part two of the class. Okay, there are two points I wanted to make, just going back to the same lesson. On the bottom of page 133, very last line, we see Tumhe Ati Mukurataya Nali Mata Ajalandika Gilantapi Tunhi Bhavang Na Apajita. The Gilanta here is a present participle, and it's the nominative case plural, because it is going together with Tumhe, referring to the Brahman, the respectful, the use of the plural as a respectful form. So you, even swallowing, but then ajalandika, that is the feminine plural accusative ending, because the pieces of goat dung, that is the object of gilanta, of swallowing. So you, even swallowing, you see that's the subject, you swallowing, nominative, nali matta ajalandika, a nali measure of goat dung, that is the accusative object in the feminine gender. Okay, that's one point. Then another point, second point, relates to the top of 134, where we have mukang vivaritva ranya sadding salapitung na asaki. So I said that in my understanding, the na, not able, also includes vivaritva, the gerund, with the meaning that you were not able to open your mouth to converse together with the king. Then I found, just to support my case, this is from the Majjhima Nikaya. Let me see. Okay, this is from the Majjhima Nikaya. This is in the shorter discourse on the analysis of karma, Chula Kama Vibhanga Sutta. Here the Buddha is speaking to a young man, and we have the sentence, Ida manava e kacho iti va puriso va samanang va brahmanang va upasankamit va na paripuchita hoti. So here, young man, that's the person he's speaking to, e kacho iti va puriso va, some woman or a man, then we have having approached an ascetic or a Brahmin is not one who asks questions. So you could take it to mean either that the woman or man, having approached an ascetic or Brahmin, doesn't ask questions, or one could take it to mean that the woman or man does not approach the ascetic or Brahmin to ask questions. Now, so in the first interpretation, the woman or man goes to the ascetic or Brahmin, but doesn't ask the questions. On the second, the woman or man doesn't approach the ascetic or Brahmin and doesn't ask the questions. And in my understanding, the second seems more reasonable. Like if the person is not interested in these are the questions you're supposed to ask. What is good? What is bad? What is blameworthy? What is blameless? What should be practiced? What should be not practiced? What will lead to my welfare and happiness for a long time? You know, so if one is going to approach an ascetic or Brahmin, it doesn't make sense just to go there and sit silently. You go and ask questions. So it seems that if one, that the na should include both upasankamitva as well as paripuchita. So he's one who doesn't approach the ascetic or Brahmin and doesn't ask the questions.
Samana is ascetic?
Yeah, yeah.
What's the root of that?
There's, in Sanskrit, it's shram, which means to strive.
Like ashram?
I think it's a different... I'm not so sure. But...
Bhante?
Yeah.
No, sorry.
Yeah, it's just that the word is not so... You know, it stems from that root, but it becomes... It's a word of common usage, whereas the verb is hardly used. Yeah, see you?
Yeah, so here, paripuchita, is that feminine?
No, this is an action noun, or what they call an agent noun, an agent noun, in which the stem form would be ending with the, it's like something like, actually like sattar, meaning teacher, in which you form the nominative singular is satta. Or there's katha means a doer. And this forms the nominative katha, a doer. So paripuchita is one who, in this case, one who asks, one who inquires.
Mm-hmm. Is there a verb paripuchiti?
Yeah.
Is it different from puchiti?
It's based on puchiti, which means to ask. Paripuchiti suggests not just asking one question, but like asking a series of questions. Yeah. Bowie?
Bante?
Yeah.
Can it be possible that a man or woman ask something else other than the list of topics?
I don't think that's intended here. In real life, it's possible.
You mean bothering with yes. bad questions?
It's possible, but I don't think that's what's intended here. I think what's intended is that they're not asking anything at all. You know, you could go to the ascetic or Brahmin and say, what horse should I bet?
You could ask what lucky numbers.
Yeah, lucky number should I draw in the lottery?
Yeah.
What horse should I bet on at the horse races?
What does cow dung taste like?
That's exactly the point. If you go to a Brahmin and ask some irrelevant topic questions. So you should not go there and ask other questions.
Maybe, but I don't know, I tend to interpret it to mean that the person doesn't go to the ascetic or Brahmin at all, just not interested in these matters.
Bhante,
yeah.
One more grammar question.
Yeah.
Here, ekacho, is that masculine? Even
that's an interesting point. Even though iti, of course, is feminine, puriso is masculine. So it seems that they're using ekacho, declining it as masculine, to agree with puriso.
Thank you, Bhante.
Okay, I think we should move on now to the verses from the Dhammapada. Okay, so now we start section 3. Okay. Yatagarang. Wait. Yatagarang ducha. I think it should be Yatagarang ducha. Yatagarang ducha nang. Yeah, this is not correctly. There's a fault because it needs 8 syllables. So yata agarang du chanang.
Yata agarang du chanang.
Futi samati vijati.
Futi samati vijati.
Evang abhavi tang chitang.
Evang abhavi tang chitang.
Rago samati vijati.
Rago samati vijati.
Okay, so we have yata. Let me just. Yeah, you can see it here. This is the better. You see, yata agarang du chanang. So yata is just as. Agarang is a house. Du chanang is from chanang, means covered. And then it has the prefix dur, which means bad. So we have chana, which means covered, plus dur, and then the R gets assimilated, so it becomes duchana, badly covered, vuti is rain, and samati vijati is penetrate, to penetrate, to pass through. So just as the rain penetrates a house that is badly covered, evang abhavi tang chitang rago samati vichati. So evang is thus or just so, in the same way. Rago is lust or passion. Samati vichati penetrates abhavi tang chitang. An undeveloped mind. And so here, agarang and chitang are what case?
Accusative.
Right. They're both accusative case in relation to the verb samati vijati. And what is the subject of those two, of both phrases?
Vuti and rago.
Right. Vuti meaning rain, and rago meaning passion. Okay, so just as rain penetrates a house badly covered, you know, with a lot of holes in the roof, just so passion penetrates an undeveloped mind. Okay, then the next verse, yata agarang suchanam.
Yata agarang suchanam.
Vuti na samati vijati.
Vuti na samati vijati.
Evang subhavitang chitang.
Evang subhavitang chitang.
Rago na samati vijati.
Rago na samati vijati.
Okay, so this is just the opposite. So, as rain does not penetrate a house that is suchanang. Suchanang means well covered. A house with a good roof. In the same way, lust or passion does not penetrate a well-developed mind. Okay, so the grammar of this, the same. So any questions about this pair of verses?
They're written in 8 syllables, the Dhammapada?
The general rule is 8 syllables. But you see that in the second verse, in the second and fourth, they call it padas or feet, I think there's 9 syllables. What happens in that case, that you have to, in reciting, you have to recite 2 syllables together quickly. They call this the resolution of one of the places in the line. So vuti, you see, vuti na samati vijati. So it's actually 9 syllables. So to make it work, you have to say vuti na samati vijati. Okay, the next one. Again, we have a pair of verses. Ida sochati pecha sochati.
Ida sochati pecha sochati.
Papa kari ubayata sochati.
Papa kari ubayata sochati.
So sochati so vihanyati.
So sochati so vihanyati.
Disva kama kilitam atano.
Disva kama kilitam atano.
Okay, so here we have ida sochati means, ida means here, sochati means sorrows or grieves. So he grieves here, that means in this life. Pecha, this is originally a gerund, but it takes on the meaning of having passed away or having moved on to the next life. So having passed away or in the next life, he sorrows. So he sorrows in this life, he sorrows in the next life. Papakari, that's the evildoer, ubayata sochati, sorrows, ubayata means in both places. then so sociati, he sorrows. So vihanyati means he is distressed. This is kunao, maybe, in Chinese. So sociati. I think this is chao. Ta chao. Cho, ta cho. Boe, to sorrow.
Yotong.
What?
Yotong.
Yotong. Yotong.
Yotong.
So.
Yo.
I say yo. Yo cho.
Cho.
Cho. Okay.
Yo cho.
Okay. Yo cho. Okay. So he sorrows here. And then vihanyati, I think, is kunao. Would that be right? Yeah, okay, so like he's troubled, he has affliction. So disva is the gerund having seen kama kilatam atano, his own. Now normally one would say kilita kama. Kilita is a past participle being used as an adjective, defiled, and kama is the noun, action. Having seen defiled action. But in order to fit the meter, the adjective kilita is put after the noun kama. But in translation, we would put the adjective first. Having seen, and then atano at the end is his own. And they're joined because of the meter. So we have here. See, we would put a space here. Atano means of oneself. In this case, of himself. Then we have kilitam, which means defiled, and kama is action. So in prose, well, we don't have to worry about a meter. One would say atano. Kilita kamang. His own defiled action. But in order to fit the meter, the word order is changed. That's why we say that verse is more difficult than prose, because there are these irregularities of word order. But the sense is quite comprehensible. Having seen his own defiled action. Okay, so he sorrows here in this world. He sorrows having passed on to the next life. The evildoer sorrows in both places. He sorrows. He is troubled, having seen his own defiled action. So, any question about this?
S-O-C, it's pronounced socha, S-O-C-A, with the root of sochati, it's pronounced socha, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The C in Pali is always pronounced like a soft C-H.
Okay.
And then the CH is also pronounced like English CH, but with a little puff of air. Ch, like chana versus Sochati.
I'm sorry, I have a question.
Yeah.
What does it mean, the papa kari? Kari?
Oh, okay. Yeah, papa is evil, and kari is one who does.
Oh.
So this is evil doer.
Yeah. Oh,
so originally, this type of noun so we would have papa kara would be another way of saying evil deed. But then one who does an evil deed is papa karin. This is the stem form. And then what happens when forming the nominative, the IN turns into the long I. Okay, so then we have the positive verse that goes along with it, the counterpart. And I don't know this meter. Ida Sochati, Pecha Sochati. It's not the one with 8 syllables per line. It's called shloka. Maybe you've heard this expression. It's sort of the standard, even in Sanskrit, the standard most common form, verse form is the shloka. Like I think like the work like the Bhagavad Gita probably composed mostly in shlokas. Or the great heroic epics like the Mahabharata, Ramayana, I think are composed in the shloka meter. But this seems to be a different meter. I haven't really investigated the more obscure meters. I know the two main meters, the shloka and the trishtub meter. Okay. So now the counterpart. Ida modati, pecha modati.
Ida modati, pecha modati.
Kata punyo ubayata modati.
Kata punyo ubayata modati.
So modati, so pamodati.
So modati, so pamodati.
Disva kama visudim atano.
Disva kama visudim atano.
Okay, so here we have the verb. It's basically the same, except the verb sochati is replaced by modati. And modati is based on the root mud, which suggests joy. So modati is to rejoice. So he rejoices here, that is, in this world. Pecha modati, having passed on to the next world, modati, he rejoices. Then the subject here is kata punyo, which it's based on the word punya, which means merit, and kata is done. So kata punya is one who has done merit, a person who has done merit. Ubayata modati, he rejoices in both places. Then so modati, so pamodati. Here English gets a little limited. So modati, he rejoices. Pamodati basically means the same thing, but I have to find another English word. Where do I get the synonyms? Celebrates, it's a little. See, it's hard to find another English word that.
Be glad. Be glad.
He's glad, but then you lose. You see, in Pali, they're very similar. Modati, pamodati. Here we could say he rejoices, he delights, he rejoices, he feels joy. having seen his own purification of karma. That's what it says. But I have a suspicion, my personal opinion, my theory.
These are from the twin verses, right?
Yeah, I think it's called the pairs.
Right. That's like, I think, the first.
Okay, anyway, it says, this is a little point difficult to get in for those who are not so fluent in English. Okay, but you see, here it uses an adjective, kama kilitam atano, but here it uses kama visuddhim atano, his own. Then this becomes a compound, a tapurisa compound, his own purification of karma. But it seems to me to be completely parallel to kama kilitam, that we should have kama visuddhim atano. Then we would have, having seen his own purified kama, then this would be equivalent to than having seen his own purified karma. Then they would be exactly parallel, because you would be having here karma followed by an adjective, defiled, and then here karma followed by an adjective, purified, or pure. But when you have karma visuddhi, then it changes to a different structure, his own purification of karma. But it seems that the commentary recognizes the reading kama visuddhim, and it doesn't admit any variant readings. But it could be that, I don't know, that there was another reading that got suppressed. It's not important. The meaning is still the same. Okay, any questions about this? So it's quite clear. You know, very, the verses themselves, though the structure is unusual, but the meaning is very simple. Okay, then we go to the next one. Ida tapati pecha tapati.
Ida tapati, pecha tapati.
Papa kari ubayata tapati.
Papa kari ubayata tapati.
Papang me katanti tapati.
Papang me katanti tapati.
Biyo tapati dugating gato.
Biyo tapati dugating gato.
Okay, so the verb tapati there's a verb tapati which literally means to burn, and then the passive form . You see the way it's formed, to make it passive, it first becomes tapyati. You see the why here, that becomes the passive. That would make it passive. That why in a verb turns it into the passive form. But in Pali, you wouldn't have a combination of P and Y. So what happens is that the Y gets changed to follow the preceding consonant. So we have tapati, which means to be burned. But it's like a burning in the mind. So this is to feel regret. What would be the Chinese for this? This is Chan Wei.
Doesn't look at me.
Yeah.
Wrong guy.
Bo Wei?
Chan Kui.
It would be Chan Wei.
Chan Wei.
Chan Kui.
I will render it as Re now, I'm not
sure. Oh, that's good, actually. Re now. Yeah, re is to burn, and now is to be troubled. Re now. That's better than... Okay. So, here he... You could say he feels regret. Or he's guilty. He feels guilty here. So, pecha tapati. Having gone to the next world, he feels regret or he feels guilty. Papakari ubayata tapati. The evildoer feels guilty or regret in both places. Papang mekatanti tapati. So he feels regret thinking, papang me katanti, evil was done by me. As he's sitting in his mansion in the Bahamas with a team of servants bringing him his most delicious food.
Bahamas sounds like a Pali word, right?
And with his private yacht. Okay. Then, bio tapati dukating kato. So, bio means even more. Tapati, he feels regret. Dugating means a bad destination, that is, a place of rebirth, a bad place of rebirth. Gato, gone. So when he has gone to a bad destination, to a bad realm of rebirth, then he feels even more regret.
But it wouldn't be considered hell?
Well, it could be a hell realm, okay. Yeah. Any of the dukkhatis or the hell realms, the animal realm, or the realm of the pretas.
Would that be similar to dukkha, or is it derived from the same root, dukkhati?
No.
No.
The prefix dur is same.
Right.
So dur means bad.
Okay.
So here dur is joined with gati.
Right.
Gati is a noun based on the verb gachati, to go. So gutting can be the place to which one goes, or it can be the act of going. Here it's the place to which one goes. So it's a bad place to which one goes, or in other words, a bad destination. Okay, so he would say he's troubled here, he's troubled. Having passed on, he's troubled. The evildoer is troubled in both places. Thinking, evil was done by me, he is troubled. And when he has gone to a bad destination, then he's troubled even more. Then comes the opposite verse. Ida nandati, pecha nandati.
Ida nandati, pecha nandati.
Katta punyo, ubayata nandati.
Katta punyo, ubayata nandati.
Punyang me katanti nandati.
Punyang me katanti nandati.
Biyo nandati sugating gato.
Biyo nandati sugating gato.
Okay, so the verb nandati, it's similar to modati. It's, maybe we could say delights. So he delights here. Maybe huanshi, the Chinese, yeah.
Is it related to ananda?
Well, ananda is just, it's based on the same root, nanda, yeah, nand, to delight. And so ananda is just formed with the long A as a prefix. So we could say ananda is delight. His name is delight or joy. So he delights here, and Pecha, having passed on, he delights. The one who has done merit delights in both places, in both worlds. Then Punyan me katanti nandati. Thinking, merit has been done by me, he delights. Then, Biyo Nandati, Sugating Gato. And he delights even more when he has gone to a good destination, to a good realm of rebirth. Okay, so this is, the meaning is quite clear. Any questions about this?
Bhante?
Yeah.
Biyo means even more?
Yeah, biyo means even more.
Okay, thank you.
That's the masculine version? No.
I think it's not declinable.
Uh-huh.
It's not being, it's like an adverb. Or it's simply indeclinable. Yeah, one thing I should just, a little technical point I should point out, that we have the contrast durgati with dugati. Now this is formed from dur plus gati. So that's quite regular. But the good prefix is simply su, not sur, plus gati. So normally, from this, we would get sugati, a good destination. So why do we have here sugati?
Well gone, like
yeah,
Buddha.
Well, that's used as an epithet for the Buddha, but that's not relevant here.
Oh.
Why do we have sugati rather than sugati?
It's towards the yeah.
It's very simple, one word answer.
Come on, you know.
Nobody has the answer? Starts with an M.
The meter?
Right, it's the meter. And for some reason, this meter requires, they call a strong syllable here. And so Sukhati would be a light syllable. But when you double the G, then it becomes a strong syllable. Sukhati.
Yeah. The musician should
not. Yeah.
The timekeeper.
Okay, so now we finish the initial readings. And so next time we take the, let's see how much.
This is the twin verbs or the pairs, right?
Yeah, this is all from the first chapter of the Dhammapada. Oh, we have a whole bunch of stories coming up from the Rasavahini, Dhammapada commentary, and Jataka stories. Okay, so it's 3:00, so we could end for the day.